So today we welcome to the program Sarah Tan. Sarah is the president and executive director of EACH, that's Enhance Asian Community on Health. And also Mary Cole is here from Bay State Community Services. Mary is the program manager for the Greater Boston Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. So ladies, first of all, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We've had you both here on QATV in the past and different roles, Sarah, and your part for EACH when it was really first founded over 6 years ago. Like, it's hard to believe that we've come so far in such a short period of time. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about, for folks who don't know, what EACH is.
Right. So EACH is the short name of Enhanced Asian Community on Health. We mainly, at this point of time, located in Quincy, South Shore area, but we actually reach out to Asian population, which is not only Chinese, but Vietnamese, and also we try to reach out to the Lao population as well, if it is possible. We mainly concentrate on health and wellness education events, workshops for the Asian populations. Right now, since last time we met in 2016, we actually started our organization in 2014. So the reason for it is we find that a lot of Asian population are lack of understanding of health and wellness educational programs or for their well-being. So we hope that through our organization, we will be able to promote healthy events for them. Due to the lack of language and language barrier for the community, through our organization, we'll be able to use their language, their dialogue, whether it's Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese, even we do some in English as well, and we are reaching out to, we actually expand ourselves reach to Vietnamese as well. Our programs mainly concentrate on the chronic disease management. We also have mental health program as well. We hope that we can reach out to the people to talk more about mental health. And we thank Bay State for their partnership, willing to actually reach out to the Asian community on smoking, freedom from smoking as well. This is an area that we found that a lot of Asians not really being educated or understanding how they can quit smoking. I really appreciate their support and looking out for the Asian community and knowing that there is nothing out there to support the community, and they are willing to do it at this point of time. And I think it is critical, especially people are under tremendous stress throughout this year. It's in during this pandemic year. We can see a rise of people smoking. I even have a friend as who just were so stressed because of layoff, no job, and family's support. They need to support the family. There is no way that they can quit smoking. While I talked to them, I said, here it goes. So we have a program. We're going to start in May, and thanks for the support of Bay State. Hopefully, we can help the community, you know, under the stress, but there is a way to quit smoking. You know, we can support them with provide them the quit smoking cessation products where they can do the patches or anything else. Yeah.
So, Mary, what actually is the Greater Boston Tobacco-Free Community Partnership, and how is it associated with Bay State Community Services?
Sure. Yeah. So, the Greater Boston Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. We're based on the prevention team at Bay State Community Services, and we're actually funded through the Department of Public Health's tobacco program. So my main responsibility is actually is really focused on prevention of using tobacco and nicotine products. And a lot of that comes with strong policies as well in preventing young people and people in general being exposed and having access to tobacco products, because that's a really big piece of this as well. We're also working to prevent secondhand smoke And finally, we work to increase cessation services, so quit smoking services as well. And particularly with my position and this partnership, we're really focusing on racial equity and increasing more resources for communities of color because they tend to be impacted more from tobacco and have worse health outcomes because of it. So that's why I'm super happy to partner with Sarah because she's able to tailor resources or cessation resources more to the Asian community, which is really, really important to have it in languages like Chinese and Vietnamese as well.
Yeah, are you seeing what Sarah was talking about, an increase in folks who are becoming addicted to smoking products?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have data on it, but what I've heard is, sure, there's some people maybe who have relapsed because it's been so stressful. I've also heard that people have found a reason to quit because they kind of are aware that COVID, if you get COVID, you're at higher risk of more complications from COVID if you smoke. So that's actually a really big kind of reason that people want to quit as well. So that's something that I do is I really try to promote quit resources and support for that too.
Yeah, are you also seeing the cultural disparity within the Asian community when it comes to smoking?
Yeah, there tends to be higher rates, especially among the Southeast Asian community as well. And Sarah, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we had discussed, there is a reason we see that there is a lot of recently a lot of restaurants not open, not being open during the pandemic. That put on a lot of stress. But on the other hand, interesting point is we said that just when I discussed with Mary, interesting part is Chinese, they actually smoke during the break, you know, when they are working in a restaurant. So, I mean, I think there is something that we need to talk about. We need to reach out to the people working in the restaurant, and hopefully there is a different way of relaxing rather than smoking during the break. You know, if they have a break while they are working at the restaurant. That is the highest percentage of people that who are smoking, especially people who are working in the restaurant. I think that's the area that we really want to target at.
Interesting. Is it, Sarah, would you say it's more older generations or younger people? Or?
Oh, no, even younger people. I have a friend who, I mean, mainly male, as we said, right now in the Asian populations, it seems like a lot of men are smoking. I even have people who are 40s, you know, below 40s, just smokers. And I asked them what's the reason for it. You know, it's just the stress, and especially mm-hmm. they're working in the restaurant. But this year is making it worse.
Yeah.
Making it worse. Yeah. So I think it is the time. It is the right time that we're going to do. We do this interview as well, and hopefully we can reach out to the Asian population and let them know that there are programs out there to help them. And we're going to start it, and it's going to be in their language, in their dialect, which would be helpful.
I would think that's a big key to overcome is the language barrier. You can't you can educate people if you can't communicate with them, right?
Right, absolutely. And we actually created a flyer. I wonder if you can we can show it, or you want me to give it to you. You can pop it out later on.
Yeah, we'll put that up here for folks to see. Sure.
Do you want me to? So you want me to pass it to you, or you want me to share now?
I have it already that Mary sent over to me. So yeah, I'll be able to use that.
Okay, yeah, you can. Yeah, at the same time, you can pop it out at the recording. I have just changed it to English and Chinese version. So I will give it to you. So that way we can, you know, show the people that there is a program out there.
Great, yeah. How will that actually, what will be happening in May? You know, are these actually in-person sessions that will be happening? What's actually?
No, we're going to do it, on Zoom as well. It's not going to be, in-person at this point of time. Our office actually will open to the public, maybe for the wider interaction will be in September. We're thinking in September.
Okay, and you're still located at the Mana Community Health Center on West Quantum Street?
Right now, we are not going to Mania right now because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we are at SNN Church.
Oh.
You know where is SNN? Yeah.
Sure.
So we are SNN, and we also partner with Lighthouse Church as yep. well. You know, that is at North Quincy, and SNN is at Wollaston.
Yep. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Mary, what will the actual, cessation programs or education programs entail? How will they actually work on Zoom especially? That's a challenge, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah. So I wanted to mention that. So Sarah has this, it's called Freedom from Smoking course. So it's kind of like a group program to talk about quitting and your triggers and how to overcome that. So Freedom from Smoking typically is about 8 weeks.
Okay.
And right in the middle of there is your quit date. So you're working up to quitting. So Sarah has this program in Chinese. And also, just so you guys know, at Bay State, there's also a program that's in English as well. It's starting up again in June. It's on Tuesdays. So that's just another resource that's out there as well. And I also wanted to mention another one that if people weren't interested in these Zoom or in-person classes, that we do have the Massachusetts Smokers Helpline. It's 1-800-QUIT-NOW. It's absolutely free, just like the Freedom from Smoking courses. And you can talk on the phone and you can also build a quit plan. You can also get free nicotine replacement therapy from there as well, like the gum and the patch.
Okay.
And those are really essential parts to help quit as well, because we know that nicotine is so, so addictive, and it's really, really hard to quit. So as much help you can get with coaching, with peer support, and also with this nicotine replacement therapy, you're a lot more likely to quit
okay.
by having all of this support.
Yeah. How much has the new, vaping trend contributed to addiction?
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is tobacco use is really going down. Preventing tobacco use is one of public health's greatest accomplishments. So we've really been seeing that going down. And then if you look at the data, then suddenly you just see vaping out of nowhere pop up among young people, particularly in Massachusetts, across the nation. And nicotine is also in vape products, and it's highly addictive. And so I think that's something that a lot of young people didn't really know. And we see them addicted at very high rates as well. And so just to mention quit resources as well, that 1-800-QUIT-NOW number, they also have quit resources for people as young as 12 years old. And they have specific programs for, I think it's age 12 to 17, and also young adults, along with adults. So we're really trying to encourage people to quit in a lot of ways, and also educate them more about the harms of vaping as well, because it still is a huge epidemic of young people vaping. And it's just the new cigarette, really.
Yeah. How important was it that the menthol ban, went into effect? Did that help at all, do you think?
Yeah. So we call it the menthol ban, the restriction. And this was a huge public health win, really. When I first opened up to speaking to you, I talked about the exposure and access to tobacco products. And we know that the tobacco industry, that they target young people with flavors, and particularly with menthol, with the menthol flavor as well. We know that menthol is one of the most popular cigarettes that young people use and they start using. And particularly, so people know a little bit more about menthol. So menthol is a flavor additive that is actually kind of acts as an anesthetic. And so it makes it easier to go down. So it makes the tobacco easier to inhale, and it also makes it harder to quit. So it really was a huge, like menthol tobacco should not have been, something that should be sold. And so it's really awesome that Massachusetts took that first step to protect public health, and particularly communities of color as well. Like, the tobacco industry targeted the Black community with menthol cigarettes as well. And so we see Black community using about 85% of Black community smokes menthol cigarettes. So it's really a social justice issue as well. And so it's really awesome that Massachusetts banned that.
Yeah. Sarah, are you finding folks in the Asian community are vaping or smoking from, traditional quote unquote cigarettes?
I would say that the vaping is more for the youngsters.
Okay.
a lot of youngsters. I can see that, especially when I reach out to the families who has teenagers, even though the family, you know, find that it is, they might not be talking about it at home, but the family really knows that the youngsters are doing the vaping. It is a very, very serious matter, actually, reaching out. And again, we are trying to reach out to the high schooler as well, hoping that we can do a few forums or educational events, reach out to the youngsters, the high schooler, you know, let them to talk about it, you know, how they, what they think and how they can quit smoking or vaping as well. And as we say, it will really affect their health as well. So hopefully we can reach out to them and let them understand it and get the word out, and they can talk to their peers as well. Again, as what we say, when we do this Chinese Freedom from Smoking program events, as Mary say, we're gonna give out free gums and patches to help them to quit smoking. I think that is a best way to quit, and it should be the easiest way too. I think it will be a good success.
Yeah. Would you both agree though that really the person has to want to quit, or at least want to try to quit? I mean, how do you reach somebody who says, I like smoking, I don't want to quit?
Yeah, I mean, we know that most people do want to quit. It's just really hard to quit. So of course that you have to want to quit. You also have, there's also all these other things that go into it. Like, what are the reasons you want to quit? Can you stick to it because of your family, because of the health toll, because of the cost of smoking? And also, like, can you identify your triggers? Like, do you want to smoke when you, like, have your coffee in the morning or when you're driving your car? So there's a lot that goes into it. And that's why something like the Freedom from Smoking course is really helpful, just to be able to identify all of that and prepare to quit in, you know, in an informed way that's tailored to you.
Yeah. Is it based on the 12-step process, would you say, or similarities at least?
Is Freedom from Smoking, Sarah? I don't know, so I'm not sure.
It's not based on the 12 steps, but they based on each session that has a process that goes through and educate them and tell them that how they can slowly quit smoking.
Okay.
As Mary said, you know, in the middle of the program, we really encourage them, we're giving out the gums and patches to let them try it. There is a lot of reasons people, well, I mean, didn't understand it. I have another friend was telling me that, you know, when his father quit smoking, before he quit smoking, he didn't realize that cigarettes are so expensive because his wife bought for him, you know. And one day his wife forgot to buy for him. He went to buy it. And then he found out that the tax is more expensive than the cigarette itself. He said, oh no, I'm going to quit. It is so expensive, right? And so
good,
he quit in one day.
Right?
Yeah, he did it in one day. So I think there's another way that we should tell the people, especially, you know, people are having difficulty in their finance.
Yeah.
They need to think about it, you know, and if you can put that money into your daily expenses rather than smoking, it makes a huge difference too, right?
Yeah, well, I guess if folks are looking for information or reaching out to this program, that, I guess, is the first step, right? That it's an indication that they at least are interested in thinking
exactly
about quitting. And if you can grab them, you know, and show them some routes to do that, you might be successful. Yeah.
It's definitely, there is a positive way of quitting the smoke, freedom from smoking. And they will be able to do it if they follow the steps. We did it in 3 years ago, and we had four people were saying that they want to quit, but two people actually end up quitting.
Okay.
You know, so it can be done.
Yeah.
You just need to be, you know, reach out.
How important is it for folks to hear those stories, you know, from those success stories, from those people themselves? Is that a good motivation?
It definitely. We will have people come on and, you know, really present themselves and telling them that, you know, I can quit. Why not, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay, anything else we should let folks know about right now, do you think?
I think Just one of the reasons, I forgot to mention this when I first started talking. Yeah. One of the reasons that that Sarah and I are working together, particularly in Quincy, is that Quincy has a higher smoking rate than the state average in Massachusetts. So we wanted to highlight that. And so in Massachusetts, about 13.7% of adults smoke cigarettes, and it's 19% in Quincy. Really? So it's a much higher smoking rate here. And so we really want to be promoting quit resources as much as possible. And that's really best practice as well, to just be talking about quitting, to be showing all these resources.
Yeah. Do you think that's because of the higher Asian population, Mary?
It could be. Also because Quincy's a city, mm-hmm. and partially, like I mentioned, the tobacco industry does target communities of color, and they target urban areas. And so you'll see there's more retailers that sell tobacco products. And that's a reason that people smoke too. And that's a reason that young people start, is because they're exposed to these products that, you know, kids might go into a store to buy, like candy or gum. And like all these tobacco products are there. So those are big reasons, I think, too, just the retail environment. And so we want to make sure that we have less tobacco products available, and that we want to be promoting like these healthy, you know, just healthy environment in general, and also quitting as much as possible.
Okay.
Right. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we just hope that people will call our number. I'm going to send you the flyer, and the population or our community want to reach out, they can always call me and we can set up either individual or group meeting as well.
Okay, Grace.
And the last thing was, I think Joe, I sent you these to put up on the screen just to highlight, in addition to the Freedom from Smoking courses, we want to highlight the 1-800-QUIT-NOW number that you can call for free help to quit. And there's also a number to call for the Asian Smokers Quit Line, which they have languages in Chinese, in Vietnamese as well. And so those numbers will be on the screen for those who speak those languages.
Absolutely. All right. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you both about this, and I hope it helps get the word out to folks that the service is available. It is at no cost, right?
No cost. Yep. It's free.
Yeah. And it starts in May, and it goes indefinitely, I'm guessing, right?
Hopefully, yes.
All right. Thanks so much, Sarah, Mary. Nice to talk to you both.
Nice talk to you. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Bye now.